As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values.
Welcome back to the Built to Last show. I'm so excited to have Melanie Benson on today. Melanie, thank you so much for being here. I'm super excited to see where we're going to take this conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much. This is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Well, I want our listeners to know a little bit about you before we dive in. So let me tell you a little bit about Melanie. Melanie is the authority amplifier and possibility igniter for expertpreneurs. She shows you how to generate million-dollar visibility, which we're going to dive into that, Melanie. I want to know what million-dollar visibility is. Since 2000, Melanie has a proven track record of accelerating results for her clients. It's not uncommon to see a 2 to 5x revenue increase in the first 6 months of working with Melanie. She's the host of the Top 1.5% podcast, Amplify Your Success, is author of Rewired for Wealth and Entrepreneur.com Startup Guide to Starting an Information Marketing Business, and has been featured in Authority Magazine, Bloomberg Business Week, Women's Day, and Parenting. So Melanie, I love having people on the show who have been in the coaching space and the online education space for decades and who've been a business owner for decades, because you have really seen it all. You have seen the industry change and transform and shift over the years. And I'm sure you have some projections about what it's going to look like over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. So I'm super excited to hear all of your insights, because it's just going to be so special to hear what you have to say, having worked with thousands and thousands of people at this point. You know what works, you know what doesn't work, you know what leads to client results, you know what doesn't, you know where people are holding themselves back, you know where they're not, and what really leads to client success. So excited to have you. Let's dive on in here.
Thank you.
Let's start with what you say in your bio. Million-dollar visibility. What is that? How do we create it? Because at the end of the day, all of us want it. We're all thinking about it, whether we ever reach it or not. Tell us what it is.
Yeah. Thank you for asking. So million-dollar visibility is the monetization of visibility that everybody needs and wants. So I like to think of it as, when you are out there getting yourself on social media, you're getting yourself booked on stages, you're getting yourself booked to speak on someone's show, are you able to generate the type of messaging and the type of rapport and connection that acts like a magnet that pulls in ideal clients and more opportunity? So what I see a lot of people doing is they focus on what I consider one-dimensional visibility. They're doing the effort. They're putting themselves out there. They're getting their message out on some platform, but it ends there. They don't really know how that visibility is performing for their business. They don't really know how that visibility is exponentially multiplying beyond that first conversation or that first content piece that goes out. A million-dollar visibility is the ability to take your content, your message, your showcases, just like we're doing right here today, and exponentially grow the reach. So it transforms itself into at least another $100,000 a year in revenue, if not $1 million in revenue. And it kind of, a mutual friend of ours kind of helped me coin that, because he's like, we were talking and he's like, it's like you get million-dollar visibility. I'm like, yes, Adam, I do. Because I had been able to show a track record of every time I am featured somewhere, the clients roll in. And that has been kind of my claim to fame, if you will. It's what's actually helped me grow my business so much. And it's what's helped me stay relevant, like you said, for decades.
Yeah. So what comes first? The chicken or the egg? No. What comes first? Is that a mindset first? Is that an energy? Is that a way of being? Is that a way of thinking? Then it's strategy? Is it a both and?
I love this question. I've never been asked this question before. You know, I think you probably have to do some action before the mindset plays out. And again, it can come either way. Like I've worked with people where the mindset has to kind of get elevated before the visibility, the million-dollar visibility can be generated. But what I think about it like this, first of all, you have to decide. And in a lot of ways, making a decision is a mindset piece, because a lot of people never make the decision to allow themselves to be seen in a way that grows the reach of their work beyond what I call their known zone, the things they know how to do that get them the results. And many people just rely on referrals for so long. And then when that referral source dries up, guess what, Megan? They're like scrambling because I don't know how to get clients. Or they relied on a social media strategy like Facebook ads or their Instagram reels. And when that algorithm shifts, they're in trouble because the leads stop coming in. And I've worked with a lot of people over the years who had a strategy that stopped performing. And all of a sudden, they were invisible. Nothing worked. They felt like they were pouring money into a strategy that couldn't get them results. So I like to think of it as decide. Decide that you are going to craft an authority brand with a messaging strategy that's crystal clear what it is you are a recognizable authority on, and a message that gets you this like magnetic quality so that you're getting a slew of invitations, and it easily translates in the eyes and the minds of somebody who might be looking to use your services. And this is what kind of opens the doors on this exponential level, because when you get that messaging fine-tuned, the strategy is easier because all you do is you feed the visibility machine a little bit with this consistent brand messaging. And the next thing you know, you're going to have a full docket of interviews. You're going to have people coming out of the woodwork that say, hey, I love what you're doing. I'm putting this event together. Do you want to speak? So instead of feeling like you're efforting so deeply to get people to put you on a stage or put you on a show, it kind of flips that energy equation.
Yeah. You know, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I was on your podcast. And then I know that I saw a post that you made on social media recently about being seen. And I was kind of divulging at the end of our conversation. I think it was actually part of the recorded part. And then we were talking about it offline a little bit where, you know, I have felt that over the years where, you know, sometimes you feel like the best kept secret, or you are very seen in your little corner of the world. And that was my journey for quite a few years. I was very seen with this, you know, size of community that I had built relationships with that I knew really well. They knew me, they were buying all my stuff, and it wasn't referral based, what you're saying, but you know, I started noting, this was many years ago, my launches started to perform like not as well, the next one would do not as well, and the next one would do not as well. And you're thinking to yourself, well, just like you just said, Melanie, it's a strategy, it's worked for me. It's not like launching no longer works, people are still doing it. And what I didn't do for years was grow the audience, because I wasn't allowing myself to do exactly what you're saying, which is more exposure and more visibility. And I know that you work with a lot of very talented, very gifted, very smart people. Why do sometimes those of us who we have the goods, you know, we're delivering impeccable services, clients are getting great results. What is it that's holding us back from being seen, being heard? Because you know, at the end of the day, I think we all do kind of get, okay, the next level is more visibility. The next level is more exposure. And then in our minds, it's like, but that's so unsafe, you know? So I'm sure you've seen so much of that in people. Like, what is it? Where does it come from? What are those barriers that are keeping any of us stuck from really sharing our greatness?
Yeah. And thank you for sharing a little bit of your story, because I think everybody probably has a story or an experience where they realized, wow, I'm not doing the thing that can actually produce more consistent, more powerful results. And when you start to dig into it, almost always there's a fear a conflict or some kind of a limiting belief that's holding you back. And I studied mindset for many years and got massive training around helping people break through unconscious barriers to their success. And what I find is that oftentimes underneath, there is an event or like some kind of an invisible barrier or block that we have a story we've made up about something that we hold on to that acts like a block. And until we maybe bring that into our conscious awareness, it's probably always going to act like a wall, or it's going to act like an anchor that drags you forward. And what I've noticed is that when talented people tell me, like, I feel invisible, or I feel like a best kept secret. And there's all the, like, I literally, last week when I put that post up, I had a woman who I have known for 16 years drop into my DMs and say, Melanie, like, I think it was 15 years ago, you said I was the secret weapon behind some of the biggest names. And you were asking me, like, why I wasn't stepping out and being more visible. She goes, I finally figured it out. You know, 15 years later. And she's like, I'm like, come Monday, it's all different. It's all going to be changed. And I just think that there's almost always there's this payoff to staying invisible. Either we're addicted to the struggle, or we are feeling safer when we can control who sees us mm-hmm. and who gets access to us. And I think until we like maybe up level our belief system and we create safety around being seen, which sometimes means you work with a coach or you get some accountability and some support so that when you elevate, you don't feel like everything's going to fall apart. You actually have someone holding that space with you to make sure that the safety is there as you take the leap and go to that next level.
Yeah. Now, I imagine in your programs, I want to get into, you know, a little bit about how you run your programs, how, you know, what is it that's really working inside your programs so that more clients are getting great results, staying with mm-hmm. you longer, bringing in incredible referrals. You know, at the end of the day, pretty much everybody has got some sort of mindset issue or limiting belief or block or barrier. You know, we can give all the information all day long inside of our programs. I'm curious, over the years, I mean, you've been doing this 23 years, you have so much research, you've studied so many clients, you know what really works and produces results inside of programs. Over the years, have you shifted the way that you're working with clients when they're joining a group program or a mastermind or even a one-on-one coaching arrangement with you? How has that changed over the years so that your clients are getting amazing results?
Well, I love this question because we actually have dramatically shifted how we work with clients. And I've noticed that there's been certain milestones in my business where buying behavior changed in our industry, or the way people want to learn or implement has evolved. And it hasn't always been easy for me to adapt with those changes because I'm one of those people where it's like, I figure out something that works, I'm like, lock and load. I want to keep that as long as I can because as we talked a little bit about on my episode for my show, like retention and being able to like keep something working is the most profitable way to run a business. When you're going into product creation, you're going into like developing new things and testing, that's expensive. That being said, last year, one of the things that we started to pivot into is I had this huge aha that when I worked privately one-on-one with my clients and we actually did stuff together where we worked on the messaging, we worked on the positioning, we worked through things in real time and they got clarity and it was done, they got faster, better results. I also know that not everybody's able to make that kind of investment in their business. And so I started looking at how do we shift our group experiences so that they can actually integrate as they go rather than learn and then have to go implement on their own. Because Megan, that was the biggest breakdown. People, especially high performers, are busy people. They have a lot on their plate. They don't want to learn something and then have to go like figure it out. They want traction. They want to accelerate. They want movement, right? And they're willing to invest in order to get that kind of integration. So I pivoted all of my programs to be in real time. We're doing this together. You're going to actually get the clarity, at least to the 90% level, if not 100% level, so that you don't have to find another time to go implement what it is that I just taught you. And it like was mind blowing what shifted in my clients' experiences. So instead of them going, oh, I didn't have time, Melanie. Like, I know that this strategy around getting my ideal client avatar is really important, but oh my gosh, I ran out of time. I never had a chance to do it. No, we do it in workshop mode. And then they're clear before they leave so that they can now move towards the next segment, which is getting their offers crystal clear, getting their messaging crystal clear, getting their topic to get booked crystal clear. And that gave them momentum.
I love that. So instead of spending 60 to 90 minutes on a call once a week where they're just sitting as a student listening to you provide them with information, and that's how a lot of programs are run. It's either all, I'm just going to provide you a lot of information, or it's information first, Q&A second, and it's just week after week of that. You're saying that you're actually walking them through the exercises, and in real time, they are doing the work at their desk or wherever they're at, yep, and coming up with the answers right there on the spot and getting your feedback.
Yeah. And I use a couple of different modalities. One of the things I love about the program's called 100K Authority Accelerator. And so the promise is in 12 weeks, they're going to not just have clarity on their message, their positioning and all, and, you know, what their talk is going to be, but they're actually getting bookings. They're getting in real time visibility. We call it a visibility sprint. And I realized, like, in order to do that, they have to have all their pieces done. So what I do is I use different techniques at different times. So I will have a piece that's training, and then they'll have Q&A with me, and then they go into like solo work, or sometimes I put them into pods to work on that step together. And that's actually one of their favorite things, because they get real-time feedback from somebody that's not their coach that might actually give them an insight that is more about their audience than I might be. So we're integrating with these three different modalities all the way through the program. And then if they need a little bit of time, they have accountability where they have to follow up and tell me that it's done and show it to me, so I know they're ready to progress. And I did that, Megan, because I got tired of people saying, I can't keep up. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Or can you do it for me? Because that's not really the model that I use. And I wanted people to have a way, because I work with mostly people who have been established in business for a while. I wanted them to have a way to get results that didn't mean they had to go invest in something really expensive where somebody was going to do it for them, but that they could in real time get those results as we went. And it's been really exciting to watch. Like, they're posting, okay, I just implemented your content strategy and I just got three, you know, client leads, and I haven't got a client lead in 6 months. So this is really exciting, right? You know, or yeah, through social media at least, right? And so they're seeing in real time what works.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. And then they're getting feedback. So, you know, the feedback loop is right there too. I love it. Mm-hmm. I was in a mindset coaching program that was about 12 or 14 weeks in 2022. And it was in the fall. And you mentioned accountability groups. I'll just share, anybody listening, that was my favorite part of the program. The program was amazing, right? The training, there were lots of different modalities and teaching and training and learning elements that were used, like you're describing in your program as well. It's not just teacher is teaching. You've incorporated so many different learning modalities. And my favorite part was the accountability groups. And I think sometimes as leaders, we are thinking, and you know, you mentioned it here too. A lot of us are working with people who are very busy. And in our minds, we may say, oh, well, they don't have time for accountability groups. They don't want accountability groups. It's one more thing they have to do. But you're saying, and I'm also saying as someone who's been a student in a program with accountability groups, and I've been in other programs where we had assigned accountability buddies, and you're required to meet once a week. They were my favorite part And it was such a phenomenal way to deepen the work that we were learning and we were doing. And then you get to bounce it off of someone else and you get to hear how they're integrating it and how they're implementing it. And you just see how many things in common you actually have as well. It just really helps deepen that conversation and deepen the work. So if anybody's got group programs, people, maybe not every single student will, but people really do love accountability groups. I think it's so important to hit on the different modalities because you're hitting on all the different personalities and learning styles too. And I'm sure you've noticed that in your programs. Not everybody's an extrovert. Not everybody's an introvert. And we all learn in different ways. So it's important to include those various modalities in the delivery of your program.
Absolutely. And I study human design, which I'm sure you have been exposed to over the years. And what I find is the way people process information, it's called their authority, and their strategy, it completely changes how they integrate in a program. And so being tuned into that gives a little bit more awareness. Okay, everybody needs a little bit something different. So I don't actually do accountability groups outside of the class, but it's possible we may incorporate that down the road because it's been one of my favorite things as well. But they do get accountability from me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, have this really strong, like, okay, where is it? What do you need in order to be able to complete it? Which keeps people out of like that kind of, what do we call it? This limbo where they're getting in their head and they're getting frustrated and they're overthinking and they're not allowing something to get landed because especially around messaging, sometimes you have to deploy the messaging and get feedback from the market before you know how the messaging is going to work. And you can't do that if you just keep it in your head and you don't actually get into taking action with it.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. I'm curious what, you know, a lot of, and you've seen this as well. And I think we even talked about this a couple of weeks ago with each other. You know, it's so easy to get a bit caught up in the marketing and the sales side of our programs. And, you know, every single time we get a lead or we see the cha-ching come through and someone buys our group program or anything that we're selling, it's such a rush, such an adrenaline rush, and it's a dopamine hit. Well, then now you have clients and you have to deliver, whether it's for 12 weeks or 6 months or for a year. And at the same time, you still have to be out marketing and selling. What kind of cadence have you figured out that works really well for you right now with marketing and selling, but also delivering? Obviously, you're delivering at such a high level of excellence with your clients. And the proof is in the fact that your clients are getting really amazing results. How do you balance that? What does that look like in your day-to-day world?
Well, what comes to mind is that I haven't always been good at this. I'll just say this has been a learned skill. I think for many years, it was easier because the group experience was a container that was very autonomous. Like I could literally just come in, do the group, and then there wasn't a lot of stuff that had to happen outside of those groups. And I had very successful groups for the first decade of my business. But when things shifted and I realized people want more personalization, they want more intimacy, they want more connection, I was like, hold on. This is not what I learned how to do. And I literally had to recalibrate the way I led my programs so that I could balance marketing and sales. Marketing and sales with delivery. Now I do have a team, so I have a lot of support. I have people who do client care. I have an assistant. I have people who do a lot of my marketing activity. And so I'm blessed to have support. I don't know how people do it that don't have support, quite frankly. But the other thing is I have to be very aware that taking care of the clients in my programs is my number one priority so that I literally embed into my time chunking throughout the week. This is client care day. This is the time where you do these activities that are about supporting the clients because running a business, there's a lot of stuff that's going to pull your attention. It's very easy to go, wait a minute. It's been 3 weeks. What's happened? And I don't like feeling like I've let somebody down. And there, many years ago, probably like 14 years ago, I was working a lot with people in other countries. And I found that it was really hard to stay on top of everything. And I was growing. I was also going through some really challenging personal stuff. And they wanted more accountability and like feet to the fire than I was capable of doing at that time. And I remember thinking back on it and thinking, is this a me problem or a client attraction problem? Am I attracting clients that are not the best fit for my business? And I'm trying to contort myself. And so one of the things I did, Megan, is I looked at the standards of who do I want to work with and what is their expectations going to be? What do they most need? And I literally across the board raised my standards for who I work with and got really selective and intentional about where somebody is in their journey before I'll take them on, and having really clear, like, expectations about where my role starts and stops for them. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want clients who expect me to do the work for them, right? Mm-hmm. And then yet I want clients who I can actually predict I can get good results for. So that meant I had to shift in the type of clients I was willing to take on. Because there's this little part of me that's like, I can help everybody.
Yeah.
But everybody's not a great client for me.
How do you weave that into your messaging? Because I'm sure that in order for you to attract people who are going to fit that those qualifications or that criteria, how do you ensure that you're speaking to that in the marketing so that you are attracting the right people? Because I think this is a really common problem, Melanie. We hear it. I mean, I certainly hear it. I've experienced it as well with group programs where it's like about 50% of the people are like perfect. They should be in the program. They have a fighting chance of getting the results you're promising. They meet the qualifications to hit the ground running. And then 50% of them are probably like 2 years too soon inside the program, which to me, that's a messaging thing. You're an expert on that. So once you identified that, how are you ensuring that the folks who are coming into your launches or your conversion events are showing up as leads? They really are the right people who should be converting into sales for you.
Yeah. Brilliant question. Well, it is messaging, but it's also audience alignment. So I learned a very painful lesson many years ago, and apparently I'm supposed to learn this over and over and over again, that where you are visible is going to be where you're fishing for leads, so to speak, right? So if you're visible in a pond, you want to make sure that pond is full of potential clients that are aligned. You don't want to be in ponds that are not your ideal clients. And long story short, I learned this by being really visible inside of audiences that had partly my ideal clients, but the part that wasn't my ideal clients is they didn't want to invest in the kind of solutions that I had. They wanted the, you know, like business in a box. They wanted as much free stuff as they could get. Like they were really going to work the free line. They wanted everything as cheap as they could get it. And that wasn't really what worked for my business. So you have to have the right message. You have to really think about, am I talking to somebody who is struggling with revenue? Or am I talking to somebody whose revenue is stable, but they want to grow? And that message can get very gray zone, right? Like it's so easy to talk about, okay, if you're struggling to get clients, is very different than you want to grow the reach of where you find your clients. That messaging shift is going to attract somebody who might be struggling financially because they can't attract clients versus I have clients, but I want to grow where I find them. I want to expand my reach in the world. I want to make a greater impact. And I literally had to learn how to shift from the scarcity because for a long time, that was the person I worked with. And then as I shifted and pivoted, I realized like my clients that get better results are the ones that are a little more established and have a little bit more growth in front of them. Changing that message was huge. So audience, message. And then the third thing, Megan, is how they enter your journey with you. So you asked earlier about predictions, and I've seen this starting to happen quite a bit already, and we're moving more and more towards this. We've been testing a lot of things around this, but when your entry point is always free, and all people can do is enter in a free way, that is a different kind of lead than might come in if they're investing even a little bit to learn and grow with you. And I'm not saying we should only have paid solutions, but what I'm saying is that if you're having a hard time moving people into buying leads, there's so much information out there. There's so many people that sound the same. There's so much free stuff. People spend an enormous amount of time collecting free stuff, trying to piece it together before they go, "Uncle, it's never going to work." And then they're willing to invest. And that can be a 10-year arc, not to mention the fact that they're distracted by 70 other people that sound a lot like you, and they're going to go test drive before they get to you and go, "I should have hired you first." Mm-hmm. So you have to look at, like, what is the experience you're inviting, your, what's your client journey, and how are you moving somebody in to working with you? If all you do is move them through free thing after free thing after free thing, they may not necessarily buy as quickly as they do if you get them more involved in something that their skin in the game. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're more invested in wanting to solve the problem. So yeah. I think those are three things that really contribute a lot to that situation.
Yeah, it's so important. And I do want to really reiterate that having client qualifications and criteria that clients need to meet to be eligible to be in your program is so, so important. You know, as someone who goes in and looks inside of people's programs as to why their clients are not getting great results and they are not seeing great retention, that is one of the biggest problems that I'm seeing, is that there were too many people let into the program who never should have been let into the program in the first place, because they do not currently meet the standard of where someone's starting point needs to be in order to be successful with the actions that have to be taken to get from milestone 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And you know, I get pushback on that too, because folks will say, "So what you're basically saying to me is that I would have made half the money." And I was like, "Well, I don't know if you would have made half the money, but if we had gotten really clear on who should be in the program, you could have made the same amount of money and had 100% of the right people in your program versus 50% who should not be in the program, because those people don't retain. They have a lot of chargebacks and they're certainly not going to bring you great referrals." So it's right. A really important topic. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. You touched on predictions. You were starting to go there. And that's one of my, I'm the most curious, about that. And I love talking to people who have been in business and who have been an entrepreneur over various decades, because you've seen the trends, you've seen things come and go. You know, I'm sure some of your predictions in the past probably came true. So being in the industry 23 years and experiencing your own ups and downs and lessons, you know, I think we're coming off of the 2020, 2021, 2022. There was such a big boom in the coaching and education space. And we're starting to see a little bit of the fallout from that. But, you know, we're beginning of 2024 now. Where do you think we're headed for the remainder of this decade? What big shifts do you see are going to take place in this industry? And how do we as leaders sustain it and stay at the top of our game and ride it out the next few years?
Mm-hmm. We could probably do a whole episode on this. Mm-hmm. I think on a very simplistic level, I think we're going to continue to see a culling, if you will. There's going to be people who kind of built a business on the momentum of, like, everybody's working from home. And so there's going to be a falling away of people who don't have solid marketing, sales, and business retention practices. I think you're going to see a lot of people reinventing themselves to be relevant in the market that's emerging right now. I will say, I think podcasting is going to continue to surge, but what you're going to see is less people podcasting, but the podcasts that are effective and well-run and the shows that are effective and well-run are going to get more listeners. They're going to get more audience built up around them. One of my predictions for this year is that we're going to continue to see people's buying behavior massively shift. And I think this comes off of there's been so much marketing that has pulled people into programs that weren't right for them. The discernment level is so much higher and people have been burned. They've made bad decisions and unfortunately they blame the mentor rather than take responsibility for the fact that they didn't really understand what they were getting into. They didn't ask the right questions. And sometimes it's the person delivering the program. But I think we're seeing a very big shift in what people want. And I think you're going to see people reaching into those higher price point programs because they're starting to realize that that's where the results are going to come. Or very low priced, I just want to learn something so I can feel like I'm learning and growing, that don't require a lot of integration. They just want to consume content, right? They're just looking for consume content. And I the last one, I think we're going to continue to see some shifting around the free line. I think people are becoming aware that the free line isn't necessarily serving anybody. You know, it's like people are more, email marketing is completely changing right now. And it's like all over the board in terms of deliverability. And so I think we're going to see people changing what they deliver, what they provide as an entry point. And they're going to be looking for more ways to get skin in the game earlier from people to weed out serious buyers, serious leads from people who are just, they're just in search of the next free thing and trying to puzzle piece it all together on their own.
Yeah. Interesting. I think it's going to get interesting the next 2-3 years to see what happens and who kind of falls away too.
Well, we have an interesting experience happening in the U.S. this year, and history has shown that when you have a country that has divisiveness or they have a lot of political energies flaring, like people get more cautious, right? And so the last thing I got to say here, Megan, before we move on, is the most important thing you do to avoid obsolescence and to like let your business get caught up in the fray is relevance. Really need to understand what's most relevant to your favorite, most ideal clients and make sure you're really speaking to that and able to represent that and be visible around that. Because the number one reason people don't have clients isn't because they don't have awesome programs. It's because they're invisible. They're not consistently present where their potential buyers are looking for solutions.
I love that. Presence and relevancy and consistency. There you go. Okay. One of my final questions, what do you believe has led to your sustainability and longevity in this industry as an entrepreneur?
Well, there's a couple of things. I can't say it's just one. I have to say I have an amazing support system. I have the most profoundly powerful circle of friends that on the days where I might have wanted to give up or maybe I'm going a little astray and kind of getting myself in the weeds, like, you know, they walk me back to my greater why and help me get kind of recalibrated. And I think we all need that in our life. And by the way, many of those friendships came out of accountability groups. So I think that's a fostering of great relationships. I also know that I am so unemployable. I cannot. There's no way I could work for anybody else. So there is a deep commitment and resilience in me when things aren't working. Like I can't give up. Like there's no fallback thing. So I have to reinvent myself. I have to recalibrate. I have to pivot to keep finding the most powerful version of me through my programs and stay relevant. And so I started teaching people how to get out of overwhelm. And here I am today teaching people what I learned that brought me $1 million visibility. And, you know, you have to be willing to shift with the tides as they're going while knowing what's really authentic and true for you.
Well, there's that word again, relevancy, staying relevant through the changes. Yeah. Melanie, if anyone wants to follow you, listen to you, connect with you, where are the best places to do that?
Oh, I'd love that. LinkedIn, Facebook, or my jam. That's where I'm most active. I'm on everything, but that's where I'm most present, except for the X place. I'm not there anymore. Yeah. And I have a resource that I'm happy to share with you as you're listening in. If this $1 million visibility, you're curious about it and how you might put your own puzzle pieces together. It is free, you know, even though I've talked a little bit about how free doesn't necessarily serve us in the long run, but we'll let you know what's possible. If you go to melaniebenson.com/built-to-last, built to last, just like this show, you can download my $1 million visibility framework. And I'll walk you through what that looks like and what pieces have to be in place. And there's a little training on the backside if you want to access it. It'll help you figure out how to pull all the pieces together.
Amazing. We'll have all the social links in the show notes, website in the show notes, name your podcast in the show notes. And then we also will connect to the gift as well. So make sure you download that. Any final words of wisdom, Melanie, before we sign off today?
You know, I just want to come back to, first of all, what you're doing here with Built to Last. I just loved the brand that you have expanded, that you've brought to this community, because what I teach and what you teach are perfect marriage partners. You have to be able to bring in those ideal clients. You have to know how to share your message in a way that's like a magnet, and you have to know how to create the container around your programs that makes people want to stay once they're there, right? And I think you can do both of them and marry them very well, but you need Megan and Melanie together, right? It's like, these are perfect. The duo, right? Like, both parts of the equation is what's going to help you really soar and create the transformation and the impact you want to make.
Yeah. You got to have both. You have to have both sides, and they both need to be churning and working and coexisting together in a beautiful way. So thank you so much, Melanie. This was such a rich, valuable, fruitful conversation. I appreciate you and your wisdom and all of your experience. And thank you so much for sharing it here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking great questions and pulling out new information that nobody's ever asked before. So it's been a really awesome conversation.
You're welcome. I always try to do that. I always think, what can I ask people that they are not being asked by every other podcast host? And we'd love to do that here on the Built to Last show. So thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, remember to design a business and life that is built to last.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.